And now, Chief Heat.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 126th most popular sports and recreation podcast on planet Earth. My name is Peter Rosenberg. Hold on, let me play an appropriate drop. My name is Peter Rosenberg.
So is it kayfabe or not?
And his name is Stat Guy Greg.
I like a delicious chicken.
And here we are for another week. SGG, how are you?
I am doing wonderful.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. I know you're off to Albany shortly.
Yes.
Is it true you're going there just to see a TNA house show?
100%.
I knew that. I knew it. Excuse me. I don't think there actually is a TNA house show there this weekend. I wanted to start off with something interesting. I was messing around this week on my keyboard. And I, in messing around on the keyboard, I have a little bit of skills. I used to take some lessons, and I recorded something. So I was like, "This is actually pretty made," and I wanted to play it for you and see what you think. Are you prepared?
I'm afraid, but I'm.
Oh, here we go. It's a tribute from me to the Cheap Heat listeners. Admit it, you're very impressed.
No, I am. I was very impressed until the Repug vocals kicked in, but
can you believe this though?
This is amazing.
I didn't do this. This is the Undertaker demo version. I found it on Spotify earlier. Isn't it Mage?
This is amazing.
See, this is what you get on Cheap Heat. Sometimes you get things that already exist, but you just weren't nerding enough around to find it. But you know me, you know I like listening to themes on when I'm in the gym, and in doing so, I came to this Undertaker page. There's a full Undertaker album that came out recently.
Oh, yeah. I heard about this album.
With, like, every version of his intros. And this is the original Jim Johnson demo.
This is already Mage.
Isn't it Mage?
I could see why they had to, you know, change
it
up for the character.
Make it bigger. There's only one song more Mage.
I spit in the face of people who don't want to be cool. You know what cool is?
Everyone do the Stat Guy Greg dance.
You know,
it's the weekend, we're here.
People are going to be doing a completely different dance from the one that we're doing, but it's all right. As long as you're vibing to this song.
Now, the SGG dance to this song is just bobbing back and forth.
Yeah.
Full bop.
And I spit in the face.
It's like a cha-cha, but you just get the upper body, though. I don't get the full...
That's right. Just a little
just
nice and easy back and forth movement.
Exactly.
Anyways, we have a lot to get to today. We will break down the week that was on both Raw and SmackDown. We will preview Payback, which is this weekend. It is not a Peter Rosenberg vehicle. It is Sam Roberts who will be doing the kickoff show. Me and Sam went over our schedule for the beginning of the year, and I had done the last one, I think.
Yeah.
I had done the last one before Mania, so it was Sam's go. So, I feel a little bit left out, but Sam is such a wrestling fan that we went through the schedule, and I was like, I mean, Sam, the man is, I am a huge fan, but Sam is a lunatic. And I pulled up this date, and I'm like, hey, Sam, want to go do the one in San Jose? He was like, yes. I was like, all right, cool. I'll do the next one in Chicago.
Right.
All right, but we'll get to that in a second. Let's get to our guest this week, one of our favorites, who is in the middle of having a great run that I'm very excited about and lots of questions about what's been going on and how she's been. The SmackDown Women's Champion, Naomi. Hey, Naomi. How are you, Trin?
Hi, good.
Here's Shadeen.
Feeling the glow as usual.
Feeling the glow. let's get to the most important subject. That is, you don't follow me on Twitter or Instagram.
What? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, no, it's a fact.
That has to be a mistake.
No, because I wanted to ask you a question. I was like, let me DM her real quick on Twitter. No follow. It was one of the most shocking things in professional wrestling this year, if you want my opinion.
That is some serious shade.
I know.
Not intentional. No, I love you. As soon as we get off the phone, I got to go fix that.
All right, thank you.
I was following you at least on Instagram.
Not on it. No, that was the most hurtful one. That was the one that really felt like a sucker punch. Let's jump into this right now. First of all, we've been enjoying seeing you in the prominent position you've had. Greg and I have been fans of you for a very long time, and it's been very cool to see you get a prominent role, including obviously a really big match this week that you had with Charlotte. But the first thing I'll ask you, and I know you may not know the answer to it, but with that match ending in the schmoz that it was, does this mean like Charlotte Naomi is on pause? What happens now?
I mean, I've been thinking about it since Tuesday. Like I was so pissed and so frustrated because I had so much to prove that night. And all of that got interrupted. And now it's like, of course, Charlotte should be, you know, my only focus right now. But with that happening, now I feel like, you know, I got to take care of this before I can even get back in touch with what's going on with me and her. You know, what if I'm out there again in the match with Charlotte and something like this happens? Like, I feel like I got to watch my back, my side, my front, my left, my right.
And I know. And there's so much unfinished business between you two.
Exactly, but now I feel like we got more business to take care of before we can even get to that business. But we'll see next week when I run into all of them again, and especially that Ellsworth.
Speaking of unfinished business, you know, around this time last year, we were used to seeing you and Tamina together, and now she was a part of that beatdown that happened on Tuesday. What did we miss as fans? What happened between your relationship with Tamina?
Good question.
Hey, that's a question that I have as well, but she also didn't touch me
because she knows.
I want to talk to her. She ain't been answering the phone. I've been calling her like, what's up? What's going on? Like, you know, and I've been doing my thing since Tamina's been gone, so I don't know if she feels some type of way about that, but I do want to get to the bottom of this and find out, like, is this something you fit towards Charlotte, or this has got anything to do with me? Like, what's up? Either way, I got to protect me at this point.
I'd spoken to Charlotte right around the time, actually, right when she was about to go to SmackDown, and we were sort of speculating on what would happen if she went over there. And she was by far the two things that I could tell, that I hope I'm not speaking out of school, but I don't think she'd care. The two things that she was most excited about were the idea of getting to have another program with Becky at some point and getting to work with you for the first time. She was very excited about it. And I know that she felt like even from your guys' first match on TV to this past week, there was already a lot of improvement. And I just know that she thinks there's more to do. I mean, you guys have not even worked. You guys have not done a non-televised event together. Is that right?
Never.
So your only work together really has come in these two televised matches. What have you learned? Just tell us, because I know you guys are two of the best athletes in the company. What have you learned just in your two TV matches working with Charlotte?
Charlotte, she is a competitor that I have never faced before or experienced before, and I'm definitely having to go back and, you know, step my game up and just reevaluate my itinerary, the things I do, my thinking in there, because Charlotte is such an amazing athlete, an amazing performer, and being in there with her, I definitely think has brought out the better in me. I've never faced a competitor like her, and Charlotte is by far, arguably, one of the best female superstars. So, you know, they say you want to be the best, you got to beat the best, right? So,
who have you pre-Charlotte? Who who did you find to be the most beneficial to you know, to work with? Just in terms of learning. Because I imagine with you, you have such natural gifts, but at the same time, your role in the WWE has changed over the years. I mean, you start out as a Funkadactyl, and you get famous because of a reality show, and then you end up in a really serious spot as a professional wrestler.
And that's why that's kind of a tough question, because I feel like for many years in my career, the matches that I was in, the stuff that I was doing was more so entertainment. And then it wasn't until I feel like, you know, the revolution happened, and then the Four Horsewomen came up, and all these amazing, you know, the division changed, the expectations of what we needed to do, and what just changing the vision and what the expectation of female wrestlers were is different now. And now I finally feel like I'm at the point to where I can showcase that, and I'm in there with girls, and we have girls in our division that can. That can showcase that and can bring that out of me.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've always had amazing matches and chemistry with Natty, Alicia Fox, and Paige.
Mm-hmm.
But with these new girls coming in, well, not really new anymore, but I think so I've had one match in the beginning with Sasha. Sasha's awesome. Haven't really had to face Becky much, but I love Becky's style. I love her work. And they're all different, you know? And then Charlotte, like, so I'm pretty stoked about getting this opportunity, because I think it's only going to make me grow. It's only going to make me better. And at the time I came in, I think the role of women in the WWE and what we were people looked at us and wanted from us was different. You know, I remember being told at one point, like, you're doing too much. Like, you're too athletic. You know, they don't want to see the girls get hurt. They don't want to see the girls get beat up. Like, they like pulling hair, you know? And now that's changed. So I'm glad I've been a part of both to see, you know, the evolution and see it evolve. And I'm glad I'm still here to show, you know,
that you can do it all. And I mean,
what we can do. Yeah.
Yeah. It would have been
from that time period as well. And the Bella Twins, and we talk about that all the time. Like, it's crazy how fast so much has changed in such a short period of time, you know?
It's interesting too, because I'm glad you brought up the Bellas. I mean, they were in a similar spot to you. They were in the company in a different time. Now, Nikki and Brie are great athletes. They're not quite the same kind of psychotic mm-hmm. level athlete that you are, but they are both really good athletes. And Nikki is, in particular, has come such a long way from being someone who was just there to kind of be there to being this, awesome wrestler, and you guys are all in that camp. Now, did you feel that as much as an advantage as there was with the NXT girls coming up and the Women's Revolution, by not being a part of that, did you feel at all that it was a disadvantage by being one of the girls who'd already been around for a long time?
One of the originals, so to speak.
It kind of felt that way in the beginning, you know, because, you know, they came in strong, they came in hot, and it was a lot of us, you know, have been busting our butt for years, like, fighting for time, arguing, can we get more time, can we do this in matches, can we, and you know what, it's always got shut down. And then, now, it's like, okay, all this is allowed, let's do all of this and let the women be empowering. And so to see those girls come in and, like, kind of us not be able to, in the beginning, be as much of a part of that as we wanted to be, it was a little frustrating. But I think, you know, it's about timing and it's about patience. And I think all of us girls have shown, Natty, the Bellas, myself, Paige, the ones that have kind of been around, you know, when those opportunities come our way, that we're just as good, we're just as badass, we're just as athletic, we're just as talented, and we can hang in there with the best of them because we are the best.
I just want to back up a little bit, because you spoke about being around to see the role of women in the company change. And I remember even WrestleMania 29, your match got cut. Fast forward to this year, you are in a prominent role in a main event match. What was that feeling like for you just to come out on stage in Orlando this year after experiencing all of that and everything that led up to that moment?
It was just very, very humbling. And just from, you know, literally being at the bottom of bottom and now, you know, working my way up to the top, it's just, I appreciate every step along the way because I know what it's like not to be there. And so it just makes it that much more sweeter that I'm here. I appreciate every week. I appreciate every promo I get. I appreciate every minute I get for a match. I appreciate every opponent because I know the years and what it felt like in the grind and the struggle to not to have that. So now that I have it, I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful and I'm just having a ball. I'm having fun out there every week. There's times before when, you know, it'd be hard going to work, just knowing you're going into work. I don't have anything. I'm not going to probably not be used. Or if you do have something in it, it's just hard. And now it's just such a good feeling to come to work knowing that, like, I'm on my stuff now, you know. I'm the girl now. I'm coming to work to make a statement, you know, to put on a good performance every single week, to grow every week and to deliver. I love the pressure and I love the position that I'm in right now. And I think, I hope I stay where I am because I do see myself improving each week.
Well, the one goal that everyone in the company has is to be the champion. But at WrestleMania, you became the champion and now you are the champion. What are your goals for 2017 now that you actually have achieved the one thing that everybody else is trying to achieve?
It will for sure to be to defeat Charlotte and retain my title. Obviously, back at WrestleMania, I would love to main event again. And I just want to have a strong, meaningful ring. I want to be a working, and I want to be a great champion. I would love to be the longest reigning SmackDown Women's Champion.
Were you surprised at all? I'll tell you the truth. I was positively surprised when you first won the title. First of all, I considered it to be one of the great upsets of all time in terms of, like, when I looked at the paper, when we went over the pay-per-view that week, to be just totally honest with you, and we do our little predictions, which are obviously just based on, like, where we think things are going.
Yeah.
I don't think we hesitated for one second in thinking that you were not going to win the title that week. We blew right past it. And first of all, were you surprised when you found out that's the direction things were going? And how surprised were you by just how exhilarated the crowd was for you?
Oh, it's so funny. I love hearing you say that because I feel like I'm always underestimated and overlooked. And I've been dealing with that like my whole career, my whole life. So that night I was ecstatic. I was like, hell yeah. Nobody is expecting this. Nobody is going to see this coming. And I felt that I wasn't as shocked. I mean, I just felt like this year, you know, I told myself, like, you know, if nothing changes or happens for me this year, then I don't know. I don't know what's next. So I was ready and I felt like it was a good moment and the right time. So I wasn't too surprised about it.
But then at the end of the match, literally on the finish, you get injured. And you told me, when I saw you WrestleMania, you told me that, you know, when you go backstage and you're taking all those pictures afterwards, you can feel that you're probably injured, legitimately injured.
Yeah, because that adrenaline is coming down.
And all of us who were so excited, and I have to imagine it was much worse for you, then have to watch you give the title back. At that point, did you really think that it would play out where, like, because so often when that start and stop happens, the person doesn't recover. And for you to then get the moment in WrestleMania, and like I told you when I saw you, you winning the title was really cool. But I thought what was more important, and I know there was some disappointment with that match and the where it was on the card and the amount of time that it had. By the way, and interesting note to fans, you may not want to always protest about being on the kickoff show because there's a benefit to getting 30 minutes on the kickoff show.
Well, we wouldn't have gotten that amazing entrance, though, in the dark.
Right.
You can't glow in the light.
No, that is true. She did, and that was the thing we popped for so hard, though, was that you got the entrance. Like, the title was one thing, but for you to get that moment in your hometown, once the injury happened, did you start thinking, oh, man, all of this stuff may not happen? Were you surprised when it all still ended up happening, and here we are a full month after WrestleMania and you're SmackDown Women's Champion.
Yep. I always prepare myself for the worst. You know, I don't like to hype myself up. I just always prepare myself for the worst. So I already kind of had it in my head, you know, the worst possible outcome, and just going off of history and how things go, you know, most times your track record shows like you don't win, you know. Especially at Mania and hometown, I'm like, okay, now that's a fairy tale ending. That never happens to me. But when it did happen, I was overwhelmed, overjoyed with just happiness and fulfillment.
Do you feel when you're out and about and you're doing live shows and you see the kids there, do you feel a special connection with, like, the little black girls who see you, and here you are, this all-natural, just amazing black woman kicking ass in WWE? I know you connect with all your fans and everyone who feels the glow, but is there a special connection with the little black girls who look up to you?
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. I mean, 100%. They see me and they identify with me. One of the reasons, not only because the glow is cool and the colors, but because they look at me and see someone who looks like them, which isn't very, there hasn't been a lot of black women, you know, through the history of wrestling. You know, there's just a handful of us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely, that holds dear to my heart, that I want to be a good example, not just for women, but also for, you know, young black girls and black women who need positive role models, or who may even just be interested in wrestling now one day because of me. I want to show them that it's possible that, you know, race, color, none of that should ever hinder you or be a holdback in anything that you want to do, you know? So, I always keep that in the back of my mind.
Yeah. And, you know, just to add to your point, I was at the Marine 5 movie premiere in Orlando, and I remember there was a group of young black kids who made it a point to sit right behind Naomi. And right when she came in, you know, like, they started shrieking and screaming. Like, everybody else was all well and good, but they could not care less about anybody else except for Naomi. And she sat right behind them. And the first thing she did when she got in, she didn't even take her seat or anything. She goes, "You guys want to take a selfie real quick?" And you should just have, you couldn't, like, nothing else that anybody ever could have done would have put that amount of smiles on their faces and, like, the joy in their heart. And so, like, I've seen it firsthand what she does.
That's a very, very cool and special thing to be able to have. Your husband is in the middle of a very cool time, too. The Nusos, as they're called by a lot of fans online.
I call them the Su-Wusos.
Or the Su-Wusos, you know, whatever. What have you, they have been so good for so long, and now it seems like they're getting a little bit more recognition also, but, you know, being married to someone who is so deeply entrenched in the wrestling business, what have you learned? What do you learn on a regular basis from your husband, who I'm guessing has just been a huge help to you throughout your entire career?
Oh, he's my right hand. He has guided me through my entire career. He truly is one of my favorite superstars, and I'm not just saying that because he's my husband and because I love him, but I am truly a fan of the Usos' work, and I've watched him grow as well and evolved, and just, he knows this, you know, he knows it inside out. He lives this, he believes this, to me, he's a mastermind when it comes to wrestling, and putting matches together in psychology and what he thinks. So I always try to pick his mind and ask him. And I kind of put a lot of pressure on myself because, you know, he's my husband and he's a amazing wrestler. So I get pretty down and bummed, you know, when I get criticism or critiques from him after every performance of my promos and stuff. And he's pretty hard on me. So, it's definitely helped me though. And I'll always go to him for his advice and his opinion throughout my career. And I know for sure for a fact that I probably wouldn't be here and where I am right now if it wasn't for his guidance.
Do you think about, does it excite you that should you guys be blessed with children one day to think that like your kids will have such incredible wrestling lineage?
Yeah, we talk about that all the time. We talk about it all the time. It's going to be a trip. It's going to be crazy to see. Because we're a wrestling family. I never saw this for my life and for myself, but our whole world and our whole life is, you know, centered around wrestling. And there is no doubt that our kids, at least one of them, you know, won't be here.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's almost, and not to mention, and as great as the athleticism is on your husband's side, now they have your genes. Yo, that could be something special. So,
they have little ninjas running around.
Exactly.
So ninjas.
Well, P, since you brought her husband up, I have to address the elephant in the room, though. Last year at WrestleMania, you know, your look, you were wearing all black. You had the bandana going. And this year, you're feeling the glow. You're wearing the neon. You're happy. You're dancing to the ring. But last year, your husband was the one in the neon dancing to the ring. And this year, he's got like a change in his attitude and a chip on his shoulder rocking the bandanas. And I just like, is everything okay at home? Why can't you guys coordinate this? Like, that's what I want to know.
We crack up about that because from the beginning, like even from developmental and us getting on a roll, it's always when I'm good, he's bad. When he's bad, I'm good. You know, when I'm at a high in my career, he's at a low. When he's at a low, I'm at a high. You know, and we're always like, God, why can't we just be on the same level, you know, in the same place? But it's funny. We're in a great place right now. But we're both champions, and it's we're blessed, man. It's really cool.
I'm happy to hear
that. I would love at some point, I hope before our careers are done or before I retire and have kids, that we do get to run some type of an angle together. Because the little bit we did do with The Miz was so fun, but it was only like for a few weeks, and then that was it. But I think we have great chemistry. We have good chemistry together, and it'll just be so easy and fun working with each other.
Now, speaking of The Miz, I'm going to let you go in one sec. By the way, Naomi, of course, is in The Marine 5, which is available right now wherever movies can be streamed. If you want to check out her acting chops, and it's not just you, it's The Miz, Maurice, Bo Dallas, Curtis Axel, Heath Slater. And so people can see that. But I got to ask you, we were all, of course, really saddened to learn about Rosie, who is a cousin of your husband. How is the family doing after that loss?
They're holding it together. This is a very big and strong family, so everyone is there supporting each other through it all. It was definitely a big blow for the family and a shock, but you know, someone passing is always tough and hard to get through, and especially with us having to, you know, travel and still deal with our emotions and feelings, you know, being away and still having to get right back to work. It was definitely tough, but everyone's doing good and getting through it.
I mean, that is the beauty of having a big family like that. Naomi, Trinity, we are huge fans. We will continue being huge fans. I will see you, I believe, in May at Backlash.
Okay.
And go follow me on social media before we have problems the next time I see you. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to do it. So don't make it
off. All right, Naomi. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much for the support. Talk to y'all later.
Of course, later. There she is, the SmackDown Women's Champion, Naomi. She's literally like the nicest human being who's ever lived, if you couldn't tell from that interview. But anyways, that was very, very cool. Now, let's not waste any time, SGG. Let's jump into the week that was in pro wrestling. We get to not talk about the JBL Morrow situation, as it seems there's been a bit of a bow. It's been tied up, at least for right now. And if more information comes out, then we'll deal with it then. And I also think I'd be remiss, without going into any details, if I didn't send love out there to all the people who lost their jobs this week. This has been a tough week at ESPN. This is the downside of business, and really feel for a lot of great people who I'm close with, who are, you know, no longer with the company. So I just want to send my love to them and wish them the best. A lot of talented people who will find other jobs. But it's certainly a rough week. So I wanted to send thoughts out to them as we do this. Now, Greg, take us to Falls Count Anywhere. What happened outside the ring this week in professional wrestling? You know what? And as I ask it, I'm going to think of a good song that goes with that. Hold on. Here we go. Falls Count Anywhere. What would go well with Falls Count Anywhere?
I wonder.
Well, do you have something? I really don't. I think I'll just go back to this. Greg, what happened this week?
I was expecting No Chance in Hell. Because, the Vince McMahon biopic, they released news that it was in the works. And, in the limited amount that I know about Hollywood, and based on what you told me, I think No Chance in Hell is an appropriate song to play as we talk about the biopic.
Well, the movie was, the rights to this film, to this script were purchased. And that is very exciting. I'll tell you this, I've seen the script. It is tremendous. It is a really awesome story that, as a wrestling fan, very early on in the film, the names that you're seeing, you know, backstage in like 1970, the Gorilla Monsoons, the Bob Backlunds, it's all there. And it's a very cool script. The question is, is this movie actually going to get made? Obviously, WWE would have to have major say in this movie. And my only question is just, if it's an incredible script, you know, maybe it's the kind of film, I hope this doesn't sound like, just like depressing. But maybe it's one of those movies that's better off in 20 years, you know, after Vince is no longer running the wrestling business, just because it's raw. The film, it's a raw.
No pun intended.
Yeah, no pun intended. Well, it's got a lot in there, but Dipperstein called it one of the best scripts he's ever read in Hollywood, and he also told me he did not think it was likely that it would get done because of that, and because of how sort of raw the script is.
At least not the version that he saw would get done.
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe like a toned down Disney-fied.
But that's the thing. I don't need the Straight Outta Compton version. And like, I like Straight Outta Compton. That's not a diss. I like Straight Outta Compton. I always, when people ask me, it's like, okay, for example, if they made Straight Outta Compton about Vince McMahon, it would be a movie that would do well, and non-wrestling fans would be like, oh my God, this was so amazing. Just like they were about Straight Outta Compton.
Right.
But really hardcore NWA fans who lived through the whole thing and loved them would all be like, just like I was, it was really well done. But like, was I sitting there like, oh my God? No. However, the version of it as it exists, I think even the real wrestling fan would be like, whoa, I'm just some of these stories. I never heard about this. So I would rather, and that, again, not a diss to Straight Outta Compton, but it's the difference between a movie that's like, you know, a well-done, cool version for the mainstream fan, or like a real insider's tale. And that's what I would like this movie to be.
So it's kind of like the balance that people try to strike with these comic book movies, where like they try to appeal to the mainstream, but then people who read the comics are like,
yeah,
it didn't go like that.
Right.
They should have done this story.
Now listen, it's inherently a movie. Like I already saw in the script just off top, like the second you start reading it. Whenever you read a movie script about a subject you know about, it seems so like blatant, right? Like, cause they have 2 hours. It's short. So the second it starts, you know, Vince is talking to his dad about like getting into the business, and like, it just seems really obvious. Like, hey dad, I really want to be a part of the wrestling business. And it's like, oh really? You know, like that jumps right out and say it, huh? But you have to. You have 2 hours. What are you supposed to do? Start 20 years before that when he doesn't even really know his dad? Like, where do you start? You have to start somewhere.
And that's the other thing, too, about movie script that I don't think people realize is, like, it's different from a book because in a book you can say, oh, John is thinking about this and narrate the thoughts. But in the movie script, somebody has to say it. It's dialogue driven.
Yeah, and if it's a true story in a book, that you could have 500 pages. Right. So you can just go off and say, you know, like if the Vince McMahon story was told in detail in a book, which by the way, why hasn't there just been the ultimate Vince McMahon book not by Vince McMahon? Like, I just wonder why someone hasn't written the ultimate version of the book, interviewing all the people around them that they can.
Except for Vince.
I mean, maybe they would, then they could try to, but they just wouldn't be able to.
But then it wouldn't matter because you have the stories anyway.
So it doesn't really, I mean, that's the thing about a biography. You don't need, it's very cool to have the person. It really, it's great. You can obviously get more. But you can get a really good biography on someone who's, like, think about it, with every major celebrity there's ever been, with every, you know how many book biographies there are on John F. Kennedy?
Yeah, or even like when Trump finally won the nomination, mad books about Trump just popped up that weren't by anybody affiliated with Trump.
Because there were enough people around who knew him that you could write a book.
And people were going to buy it. It was going to sell.
So I'm surprised that actually hasn't happened. But anyways, so that's story number one. What else you got there, SGG?
And story number two is that apparently CM Punk is on the road to reality superstardom. He's supposed to be joining next season of MTV's long-running reality show, The Challenge. It started out as Real World versus Road Rules Challenge, and it evolved into a challenge with just Real World characters. And now,
by the way, every time you do a story, I should at least play this. Continue.
And next season, it's going to be Challenge Champs versus Pros, which I guess is their version of Pros versus Joes.
Okay.
Where they're going to have Challenge alums who have actually won different seasons of the Challenge go up against different professional athletes and CM Punk.
Was it Andrew Goldstein's tweet about, so he's basically now done the reverse Miz?
It was, and it's true. It's true.
It's damn true. Miz started out as a reality star turned wrestler.
On that same show. Miz won, I think, 2 seasons of The Challenge.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In like the early, early incarnations
this
of it.
Is this a weird choice?
For CM Punk?
Yeah.
I do think so. Because even, I watch The Challenge and every season they give away maybe 300 grand or around that to the winner. So even
he doesn't need that.
He doesn't need that, but also he's not getting that. The winner's getting 50,000 going to a charity of their choice. So it's like you're already taking a pay cut.
Oh, so this is just for charity?
Yes.
So he's just doing this to do it, more or less. I mean, unless he's just that desperate to give to charity, which is a nice thought, but probably not true.
Who knows? We don't know, but I just think it's hilarious that you know, so much fuss was made about Miz being a reality star and now becoming a wrestler. Like you said, to pull a reverse Miz is laughable.
It is. That's a very odd place to go. But whatever.
Especially considering, you know, his wife famously, you know, turned down a reality television opportunity herself with Total Divas within the company. So it's like, you know, they have very strong opinions about reality TV, and then he lands on reality TV.
He's a very interesting guy, the old punkster. I'm a fan, big fan, but he makes some interesting choices, especially over the last several years. I'll never understand some of the choices that he's made over the last several years. Anything else there outside the world of wrestling?
No, that was all. The Mauro Ranallo left WWE, but...
But that's not even, that story kind of got made, it just got confirmed by him. But we already knew, I think, that his deal was up in August, and it was pretty clear he wouldn't be back.
Right, but he, you know, there's a difference between I wouldn't be back and I'm gone now.
Oh, I do want to send a shout out to how many people sent us love last week. Because when you go through a circumstance in which, like, something negative happens on social media, naturally you don't... All of y'all out there who reached out, you guys didn't feel the need to reach out to tell us, like, hey, don't worry about the haters, because you didn't even know there were haters. You weren't even thinking about it.
Right.
You were just, you know, listening to the podcast. But then last week when we complained about how much hate there was, oh, man, the amount of love we got from people was so was so cool.
Definitely more fans than haters.
Yeah, I'll say.
More the love overpowered the hate.
Like, not even, I mean, it was destruction. It wasn't even close, you know? And it was just nice to get that from everyone. So I appreciate that to everyone who reached out and showed love. That was very, very cool of you. All right, SGG, your biggest takeaway. What was the biggest thing that happened in wrestling on TV this week, in your opinion?
I think the biggest thing for me was Jinder Mahal. I can't believe I'm saying this. I don't think I would have said this.
My guy.
I don't think I would have said this even
Mage
a month
Hall.
Ago. Even a month ago.
Mage.
But Jinder Mahal and his rise so far, I'm impressed with. And yeah, that's the biggest thing for me. I love the fact that he doesn't have that he has the WWE champion. Excuse me, that he took it away from Randy Orton and then left the building with it. That he has a stable, the Singh brothers, formerly the Bollywood Boys. And I love that he's been given this opportunity.
Yeah, I'm into it. I mean, you know, I called it, you know. Yeah,
you did.
There is a chance that secretly I am the most influential man in WWE. Is it possible? How many things have happened on this show and then happened in real life?
Yeah, I mean, listen. You are the oracle. There's no way to...
Facts. Thank you. Thank you for giving me my proper dues.
There's no other way to say it. I will say this too about the Jinder situation. As happy as I am for him and the fact that he's been given this opportunity, I'm also, you know, very disappointed with the reaction that I'm seeing amongst some wrestling fans.
What are they saying?
Well, it got racial real quick.
What?
Real quick.
In what world? Who does that?
It got racial real quick on social media, and I was just like, it's uncalled for. One, because SmackDown is the land of opportunity, you know, like, I saw one tweet by a publication that's going to remain nameless because I don't want to give them any free promo, but they were making fun of his name, you know, being Jinder. And then a half an hour later, they were also excited about Breezango getting an opportunity. It's like, if Jinder doesn't deserve this opportunity because he has a quote unquote funny name, then Breezango needs to be all the way out of there. And he's not the first person with a quote-unquote funny name that...
Wait, why do they think the name Jinder's funny?
Because it's not Bill or Steven.
This was an actual outlet that said this?
Yes. One of the dirt sheets, as they say, published a tweet, and it was just railing on him for having the name Jinder, and it's like...
That's very weird to me.
That's not funny. But then the tweet's since been deleted, and they published an article on their site that, you know, praised Jinder Mahal, but there's no apology. It's like, it happened. We saw it happen.
Well, anyways, that's weak. I'm very excited about this. I think it's just cool, you know, to see someone get a shot in a moment in which they clearly are in their prime physically.
Mm-hmm.
And... Let's freshen things up a little bit. Let's get things different.
That's what I like about it, that we didn't see this coming. How, like, we've all been watching wrestling our entire lives, you know, and when you watch it, as long as most wrestling fans watch wrestling, you see everything coming a mile away. You see the next number one contender. You see how a match is going to end. You see who's going to interfere in the match. You see every surprise that they could possibly throw at you. And then you have this guy who's given a spot that you did not see coming. And how could you hate on that? How could you not at least give it a chance or sit back and try to enjoy it? Because he hasn't dropped the ball yet in this spot, I don't think.
No, I think he's done a nice job so far. I'm very excited to see what the guy's capable of doing moving forward. I think the most interesting thing that happened, and it's not a positive for me, is the schmoz at the end of the women's match. I was very surprised by that, and for two reasons. It let me down for two reasons. Number one, you now have me thinking that Charlotte and Naomi is over, at least for right now. And number two, with no resolution at all, and, you know, what if it doesn't resume for a long time? Like, I just don't know what's going to happen. And number two, does this mean that we're getting babyface Charlotte?
Well,
which, by the way, I'm not saying she should never be a babyface again. She will, throughout her career, we've said this, throughout her career, she will have moments of being a babyface. Mm-hmm. And her character is such that that's okay. She's not an evil, you know, maniacal heel who you can never see being good. I see the Charlotte character as being like a kid in high school who, like, for the most part, you think is a jackwagon. But, like, in the right setting, in that right class, you know, you kind of like them for a while. Yeah. You know, Steve? Like, Steve, the dude who's always in trouble, the guy who got arrested? Yeah. You know, I have woodshop with Steve, and, you know, he's actually all right. He's got a lot of issues.
I had detention with Steve.
And yeah, and we were sitting and talking, and, like, honestly, like, he'd never been that cool to me, but when I got to talk to him, you know, he's actually a kind of a good guy. He's just kind of misunderstood. And you're like, yeah, I like him. And then you see Steve at a party sometime. You're like, what's up, Steve? And he's like, shut up, dork. And you're like, all right, well, I guess he's back to being Steve, right? That is the Charlotte character to me. So it can go babyface for a while where she just doesn't say very much. And you're like, oh, yeah, she's not that bad. She's just really athletic and thinks she's better than people. But, I mean, she's not like a bad person. And then she could turn on them again and go right back to being Charlotte. So it's not that I think it's like a huge detriment. It's just, it's like it was needed for numbers.
But
it seems like it was needed to even out the division, not done because the story dictated it. So we ended up getting this sort of arbitrary thing instead of, I just wanted to get Charlotte and Naomi working for the next few months.
Right.
That's what I want.
And, you know, to your point about babyface Charlotte, it only works with the right roster. And
the right roster? Like who?
like Tamina. No, but
not to be confused with the song, the Wyclef, the LL Cool J song about Wyclef, Rasta and Pasta.
No.
Okay.
But no, like with the right roster, it could work. But she can't be towering over the women who are supposed to be the heels. Like, she's so much bigger than most of these women that, like, it doesn't make sense.
Well, you're better off on SmackDown, at least, though. At least on SmackDown, I mean, she'll be up against Natty, who, though she's smaller than Charlotte, is such a wrestling beast, it's believable. Tamina, who's big.
Mm-hmm.
Carmella one-on-one with her is tough, but you probably won't get very much of that.
Yeah, and you know, like
I just think Ellsworth, also, like, I enjoy Ellsworth, and I think there's a place for him. But, like, if they're going to be believable as heels, them having anything to do with Ellsworth is not it. I don't think. Sorry, I'm not intimidated by Ellsworth.
But isn't that the point, though? Isn't that almost the point? That you're not intimidated by him. No one's intimidated by him. So then when he does something sneaky to these women, it's like, it doesn't come across as, like, this despicable man is, like, abusing this woman. It's like, oh, my God.
Ellsworth, just annoying. Like, yeah. Almost like he's, like, yeah, like totally harmless, but, like, just a jerk.
Right.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, we'll see. This was disconcerting for me. I mean, SmackDown is the better wrestling show, and I didn't think that this thing happening was the better wrestling thing to have happen.
But they make it work, though, every time. Like,
SmackDown does tend to make it work. Yeah. You're right. So, I mean, listen, I'm not going to get too down on it. Let's just go through some of the things that happened and make some quick mentions and before we move on. A dream match for the ages. The match you've dreamed about literally your entire life. Matt Hardy versus Sheamus. That was decent. And now we see this little story between the Hardys and Sheamus and Cesaro. So Sheamus and Cesaro have a new look.
Yeah, I thought it was quite interesting to see.
All in black with kilts.
Yeah, and I would have preferred them with the suited up look.
You know, I got to tell you, I'm fine with this because I'm yet to. Wow, the Mets are so bad at baseball. It was 3-0 last time I looked. You saw that, right?
Yeah.
I just looked up and it's 6-3. That shouldn't happen in baseball that quickly. That was atrocious. But my wife said to me the other day that she was just like, I hate Cesaro's look. I don't understand what's going on with him.
With the shirt with the kilt or the suit?
No, before that. Like,
she
hated
the suit?
What is the character?
I will tell you this. That they, I don't know if they got sued or what, but they pushed the line between him being like a James Bond type of character but then they dropped it. And I don't know if you remember this. His theme song, before they changed it to this thing with the sirens, was very reminiscent of a James Bond theme song. I think it was Goldfinger.
All right. Yeah, it was.
And if they're going to do that, just give him his old theme and complete the look. But it's just disjointed that he walks out. Even when he walks out, it has that circle behind him. Like when James Bond is walking out. Just put it all together. You have all the pieces right there.
Yeah, but it does, you're right. It does seem disjointed. But to be honest, that's... Cesaro isn't... I'm a big Cesaro fan. But Cesaro isn't cool enough to be like this James Bond character. Like what do you think is like the logical play for Cesaro? Like, who should Cesaro be?
Well, as much as I hate to say this, I think Cesaro is almost right where he belongs. I mean, he's a great talent, but he's always thrived in the tag team role, even on the independents. Him and Chris Hero, Kings of Wrestling. I was sad that they broke them up. But then he ends up in a tag team with Tyson Kidd that was just as good. And I think him and Sheamus can also be a great tag team. So maybe that's where he belongs, just as a tag team specialist.
That's not enough, though. I mean, that's ultimately a disappointment if that's the case.
Because as a single star, it's like you said, he needs a complete look, though. Like, he needs... And I think this James Bond thing is right there. But then, what would make him more cool, though? Because he doesn't drink, so he can't even do the dry martini shaking. That's... He can't do that.
Can't even drink. What's up with, like, the tape on his shoulders and stuff?
That's for, like, medical...
Purposes?
Yeah,
what purposes? I need to get more information.
Does he have, like, injuries and people wear that? It's supposed to do something like...
No. Sometimes this is the only answer.
If you actually think I was just the right guy at the right place at the right time, let me say it one more time so you completely understand, McMahon. If you actually believe in your mind, if you actually think that I was just the right guy...
That never gets old, man.
No, there are two things that never get old. That would be the first, and the second would be,
you're hurting me.
Which is what Kalisto was saying from inside the dumpster on Monday.
Yeah, we have audio. We have audio of Kalisto.
You're hurting me.
We had a contest yesterday, and I asked callers to do their best "You're hurting me" impressions. So this is the real one.
You're hurting me.
And then here are the callers impersonating it.
You're hurting me.
That's really good.
And?
You're hurting me. You're hurting me.
Big shout out to Kalisto. All right, let's keep moving. So, we'll see what happens with the Hardys and Cesaro and Sheamus. Honestly, the Hardys have a nice little... They have some time where anything they do is going to be over anyway. So you just want to be associated with the Hardys. Like, they can have a couple of runs first, but they're just going to win, and it's all good. Before we see where it really goes. Kalisto steals one from Strowman. What's the purpose of that, Greg, in your opinion?
I think we saw why they did that. To
give him more motivation to beat him up?
Yes. Yes. He gets a
sneak win. You're hurting me.
And then he gets destroyed. And they both look good because forever and all time, Kalisto gets to say that he beat Braun Strowman.
And it doesn't hurt Strowman at all.
No, it doesn't hurt Strowman at all because then forever and all time, he can say that he destroyed everyone in his path.
You're hurting me.
Dana Brooke gets a win over Alicia Fox. I have to tell you guys, I did not see this match. I don't know where it would happen during my week, but I did not see it. Was it anything to speak of? SGG.
Well, wow, we are going to disappoint listeners who are fans of women's wrestling with this one because I also did not.
Wow.
I will not stand for it!
That is sad.
Where'd you get that drop?
That's Don LaGreca.
You really have a drop for anything I say. You really do.
Oh, if you want me to, if I was using the K drops, I have drops for everything. Oh, within the wrestling world, it's serious.
Oh my goodness.
So why didn't you see this match? What's your excuse? You don't do anything but sit around and watch wrestling,
yeah,
right?
I'm not going to lie. I don't know what happened, why I didn't see this
match. I don't even think this aired. Let's be honest. I think this was just written about.
It definitely aired because I saw a tweet that said, oh, Alicia Fox is finally wrestling. But then...
It was Dana Brooke.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what happened, though.
Well, that was disappointing. I really wanted to get your insight on that and know what happened. And instead...
But we do need more Alicia Fox in the ring, though. I will say that. She was being wasted on 205 Live as, like, this valet who went from talent to talent. And WWE also, I think they dropped the ball on her.
I mean, let's be real, though. What are they going to do? I wonder, if at this point, if they would ever, if anything's actually ever going to happen with Alicia Fox.
Well, even if she's not, going to be in the ring... Like, I liked the idea of her switching from talent to talent because, you know, there was a story that they could have told that was simpler than the story that they did end up telling. And the story that they could have told was that, like, she's looking for the right cruiserweight to take to the top and make a champion and be the manager of a champion. But then,
I would like her as a manager.
But then the story that they told was that, you know, she's a promiscuous woman and she can't be trusted. And it's like, that sucked.
You're going to go to hit me and I'm going to miss. You're going to miss. I'm going to hit you.
I would rather see her in a straight-up manager role at this point.
Yeah.
Because, like, I just think, she, even though I've always thought she was pretty good in ring, better than at least she got credit for, but at this point, I just don't see her being likely a viable part of the women's division as it stands. So a manager role, like a crazed manager, mm-hmm. like, you know, give it a run as 2017 Sherry. Like, you're crazy. You can bump. You know, she could dress herself up to look like a lunatic.
Mm-hmm. It would work beautifully, but they went in a different direction. So.
Finn, Seth, and Big Cass over Samoa Joe, Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows.
That was another good match. The interesting thing about that match, though, Seth Rollins debuted a new finisher. That was
when he thought about the pedigree.
Yes,
and then. He thought better of
all that aggression inside you. You chose to take it out on an inanimate object, and not only an inanimate object. Hey, shut up! Shut your mouth!
It's the best thing about being a heel. No matter what happens, you can just say shut up. Yep. Just shut up and shut your mouth. So what you know? So I saw the he thinks
what
about
you,
the pedigree.
What do you think of his new finisher? I'll say.
I'll tell you. I guess this probably speaks to what I think about it. I was like a little bit confused about what it was. Like I kind of missed it. Like almost, and I was sitting there watching it, but it didn't register with me.
So,
Greg, you look like you have a really thoughtful take on this.
His finisher. Japanese wrestling fans will recognize this as a move from Kenny Omega's arsenal. The V trigger.
Maybe that's what it was the V-trigger.
Which is a very impressive move as done by Kenny Omega. Especially
it's professional
if you saw
wrestling.
Especially if you saw the match from Wrestle Kingdom in January. The problem with the way Seth executed it, though,
yes.
is I don't think it came across well on camera because Carl Anderson was in the way. So, like, we saw Seth spin Carl Anderson out and then pull him back in, and then Carl Anderson drops. And if Seth had Carl Anderson facing the ramp, or even the spot where the old announce table used to be, we would see the hard camera would catch the finisher from the side, and then we could see him roll him out, bring him back in, and then jump up for a knee. But see, when Kenny Omega executes it too, he does like a bicycle kick into the knee, which just looks that much more impressive than a straight jumping knee. And I say all that to say that, you know, if you're seeing that finisher for the first time, don't judge it by that because it actually looks devastating, can look devastating, and can be impressive. And we just got to give Seth some time to put his spice on it, and then it can probably
so,
be something
so
really
it's basically
impressive.
Like a jumping knee?
Yes.
More or less to the face?
Yes. But I'll send you...
That's why I missed it, because I just watched it again, and I totally see how I missed it. It's a very missable thing where you just see the person falling over.
Right. And it's because of the way he positioned Carl Anderson on the hard camera. But if the camera angle was right, that would have looked way better than it did.
Let's see what the random guy who I don't know who he is from, no disrespect, I just don't watch these videos, from What Culture had to say about it. Do you watch What Culture of wrestling videos?
No.
Well, they have over 1 million subscribers, dude.
Wrestling fans are rabid.
My God, here's what this guy had to say.
And with another quick news update, this time regarding Seth Rollins' brand new finisher. So last night on Monday Night Raw, Rollins was in a tag match, and he went for the pedigree, and then he teased us all, didn't he? He went, no, I've got a new thing in my locker. And that turned out to be kind of like, he got Carl Anderson kind of like as if he was going to hit him with the Rainmaker, like he was behind his back, pushed him out, he came back, and he kneed him in the face. Now, this has sparked wild controversy on Twitter because it's very similar to the signature moves of Kenny Omega. The jumping knee strike has long been a part of Kenny Omega's repertoire, and it's called the V-trigger. That's his version. That's what he calls it. And he actually took to Twitter last night to tweet out a message which said, well, at least I still have my own theme music. He then later tweeted saying, I was just kidding.
Ooh. Ooh, wah, wah, wee, wah. Yeah, well, I mean, I guess it sort of speaks to what you were saying, that when you said, what do I think? Oh, now you sent me. What did you send me here, Greg? This is a...
So you can get a compare and contrast, and you can see what I was trying to say. It's hard to explain with words. You just have to see it to appreciate it.
Oh, yes. Okay. I can see how, as it's done right now, Omega's is much more... Oof, but man. Now... Before Kenny Omega, how common was this? I don't remember seeing this previously. This isn't a regular flying knee.
No, it's not. It's something that's almost unique to Kenny Omega in the way that he executes it, which is why he felt so compelled to make that comment on social media. But I think it is also much ado about nothing because, I mean, let's be honest, the CM Punk's GTS, people can trace that back to Hideo Itami, most of Daniel Bryan's style, like, this is what happens in wrestling. People share moves and it gets stolen. Even who used to use the Styles Clash? Was it Michelle McCool? Like, it just happens. If you're not in the same fed, you can expect to see two different people using the same move. The Bookend and the Rock Bottom are the exact same move. Like, it's fine.
That's facts, what you just said.
Jabroni!
What else happened this week? In the world of professional wrestling, let's see. Sasha and beats Alexa Bliss. Guys, it's interesting. Are we finally at some point, could it be this weekend, when we finally start to see Sasha and Bayley get started?
Yeah, it has to happen soon.
Like, how long? So far, they show no indication. There's not even really little hints, except, like, you know, unless it gets mentioned, like, about the title. This week they started that conversation about, like, well, you know, Bayley saying, like, you know, I would love for Sasha to get a chance, you know, once she earns it, blah, blah, blah. But as far as hints towards a turn, we have not gotten any hints towards that.
No, but, I mean, they have to do something soon, whether it's take the championship off of Bayley and then go into something with Sasha, sans championship, or have Sasha do something to keep the championship on Bayley and then turn on her that way. Like, they have to do something. There's some major changes that need to be happening in the Raw Women's Division.
What did you think of this? Very simple Greg head nod again.
What?
Does it feel like we're milking the Nakamura entrance a bit?
Yes, which I'm happy to have them do that. He needs to be made
big
to feel like a special attraction, without calling him the artist known as Nakamura. I don't think
that part you don't like.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Because he's not an artist. I mean, he is, but he's a wrestler.
He is, and it's that, you know, that feels like Prince, and you know, Shinsuke Nakamura has said out of his own mouth that he's more Michael than Prince, and you know, Mike was the king of pop. He's the king of strong style. They really didn't have to do too much.
Well, they did. They did a lot. But
The red leather jacket, like, it's all Mike. It's all there.
But. You know, we see the pieces there. When are we actually going to get, when do you think his actual match will happen?
Pay-per-view.
You think that we'll get no match till pay-per-view?
Yeah.
Are you talking about Backlash, the Peter Rosenberg vehicle?
Yes. Yes, I am.
I hope at this point that's what happens. Like, at this point, I don't really want to just see a random match on TV.
Right, because, you know, if...
It should be a Ziggler match that he comes and gets in the way, you know, or he comes to cut a promo and Ziggler comes and messes with him. Like, we got to have them... Because Backlash is what, like the 20th of May or something? I got it. It's on my calendar, I'll tell you.
Yeah, why don't you know this?
Yeah, I probably should. Backlash is May 21st.
Okay. And yeah, I think that's when we should see Shinsuke step in the ring on the main roster.
And then after that, we'll start getting regular appearances right. from him.
But even then, they should make it like kind of irregular, not like a every week thing, but like every other week you get a hint of Shinsuke here and there. Make him feel.
How are you feeling about calling him Shinsuke versus Nakamura? It sounds like you're leaning towards Shinsuke.
That's his first name.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, I guess either one is fine.
You know what they, you know what I've heard? I have audio. This is, a lot of people won't think this sounds like Nakamura, but this is actually Shinsuke talking about his true feelings.
I like a delicious chicken.
You know, I heard him say that.
That before. Was the only time he's spoken that clearly, was when he was talking about his love of chicken.
We got a preview payback.
Yeah, let's do that. I was going to mention, you know, Breezango wins the Beat the Clock match. To get their shot at the Usos. Surprised by that?
Yes, I was. I was surprised by that. I was thinking it was going to be the Colognes.
I assumed as well. Colognes don't need it, though. If you want to finally give Breezango a push, they need it more.
They do.
And but... from what I hear, I don't know Tyler Breeze's work well enough to be the kind of fan many people are, but from the way people talk about him, it seems like if you want Tyler Breeze to get a look, they better get a look.
Yeah. No, Tyler Breeze was excellent on NXT. And it's the same thing. You know, when I was first introduced to his character, I was like, okay, how far can this get? And then, you know, you see him have a match and then match after match. And you're like, oh, this character can actually go far. Like, this character is not holding him back at all because he can go in the ring. And like you said, it's just he deserves a look. I don't think Breezango is the look that he deserves. But then again, Fandango and Tyler Breeze were kind of in the same boat, which, you know, immensely talented people with highly entertaining characters that you kind of don't take seriously enough
right.
to put them in the championship
right.
picture. But they're still talented, so it's like, what do you do with that talent?
Well, you put them together and you have them somehow start making things happen. I mean, this is an opportunity.
But they still have those characters that you don't take seriously on a championship level, and that is
well. But here's the thing: I think there's a way to do it where you take them, you don't take them seriously on their way to the ring, but you take them seriously in the ring.
Yeah,
which
is what Tyler Breeze's whole vibe was in NXT. Like even down to the entrance with the selfie stick and the furry boots was so ridiculous. But then he gets in the ring
and he just wrestles.
Yeah.
Now it's the time in the show where we count down Stack Guy Greg's most legendary statements from last week alone. In at number 3.
Oh, my God.
In at number 2.
Thanks for nothing, Shaq.
And the number 1 most legendary thing that Stack Guy Greg said last week on the show?
People buy replica belts all the time.
Thank you very much. Let's move on.
But it's not a belt.
Oh, sorry.
It's not a belt. It's a title.
Let's move on to our payback preview. And let's get into a match that doesn't even truly belong on payback. And that would be the U.S. Championship match between Kevin Owens, the champion, and Chris Jericho. The deal is if Jericho wins, he leaves?
Yes. So it's almost like a winner leave town match.
That's right. Well, it's a winner leave town match.
Gone. And so that's the stip because the U.S. Championship has become the exclusive property of SmackDown Live, and so the winner and new U.S. champion, well, Chris Jericho would be going to SmackDown Live. Kevin Owens is already there, so he will be there regardless. And I think. With that said, I'm going to go Kevin Owens to keep the United States Championship.
All right. And this is tough. Because we don't know what Jericho's schedule is coming up.
Right.
I was going to say Jericho goes to SmackDown. But I imagine he loses the title and then takes some time off.
Right. You know, he got an album coming out.
All right, I'll go KO as well. I will.
Monday Night Rosenberg.
Go ahead, SGG. House of Horrors match, Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt.
This has suddenly become a non-title match, I believe.
That's what I saw, but then the graphic I thought still said title match, but
no, I saw two different ones. One that said WWE Championship, and then one that did not. So, assuming that it's now non-title, I'm gonna go Bray Wyatt because he does not need. He shouldn't lose this match that he created and invented and pulled out of the nether realm. I don't know, like, whatever you want to call it, but, like, no, he shouldn't have lost the match at WrestleMania. He shouldn't lose this one, especially since it's non-title. That tees it up perfectly for a Bray Wyatt win that cost Randy nothing.
And, of course, when you Google WWE Payback, the first thing that comes up, an article titled, WWE Payback 2017, pulling WWE title from House of Horrors match was necessary. Article by?
B. Brian Campbell.
That's right. That's right. I miss that guy. Remember Brian Campbell?
I do remember Brian Campbell. How many hip hop references do you think we'd be deep in this episode of Cheap Heat if it was us?
He was like the Mauro Ranallo of Cheap Heat. Mamma mia!
What did we say to run him off the air?
Am I not even allowed to do a Mauro impression anymore? Will people like get mad about that, you think?
I have no idea.
For some reason, I had you know how Mauro was really big on pop culture references? He never said this one, I don't think, but I just always imagined him saying it like, Mamma mia, this is a fight like Nicki Minaj and Remy Ma!
Yeah, he has.
He actually did reference that.
He has.
All right.
Three times in one episode.
No, he didn't. No,
I swear to God.
He didn't do it three times in one episode.
Three times in one episode.
He did?
Yes.
Nicki Minaj and Remy Ma?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes. He said the word Sheetha, which is counts as a Nicki Minaj or
Remy Ma. Damn
reference.
It. I'm going to miss Mauro, man.
And then there
man.
Was two more after that.
Damn it. Mauro's mage. I watched him doing boxing this week, though. He's so good at that. Like, I'm not saying he wasn't good at wrestling because he was great at it. But in a certain sense, his level of realism is suited for real competitive sport. Like, he was good at wrestling, too. But when you watch him doing boxing, the level of, like, intensity that he has. Like, I saw him, he did an intense fight on Showtime this past weekend. The Andre Berto fight. And versus Sean Porter, he was just awesome. Mamma mia. Okay, I will go Bray Wyatt.
All right.
You already made yours? I wasn't paying attention to what you said.
Yeah, I said Bray Wyatt.
That's right. All right, let's keep it moving. The Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman.
You think I'm betting against Roman Reigns?
Yeah, right.
Get out of here. Did you really ask me that question? Do bears poop in the woods, Rosenberg? I'm going Roman Reigns, obviously. Come on. I voted
Sounds
Roman
like
Reigns
a drop that just happened.
Over George Clooney. I participated.
Well, so did I.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I caught heat for it from Emilio Sparks. He's a Clooney guy. I didn't realize.
Well, who knew? Really?
Yeah.
The best thing I got, we did a joking bit on my show the other day on the K show where we said, who's better looking? We had a poll. Who's a bigger smoke show, Roman Reigns or George Clooney? And for those at home wondering, the Mets are now down 7-3. And the best one I got was that someone wrote, and it was mostly straight guys just sort of manalizing these two guys. And one guy was like, I feel that George Clooney is the kind of guy you marry, and Roman Reigns is the kind of guy you spend a week in Cabo with and dream of for the rest of your life. Which I think is reasonable. What do I think here? Roman versus Braun. I think it's a good opportunity. Oh, Roman's coming off the Undertaker win.
And Roman actually has already beaten Braun.
Schmaz, no finish. I said it.
All right.
Interruption. Maybe there's an interruption. Maybe that interruption is this.
I spit in the face of people who don't want to be cool.
But it's not Carlito. It's Sat Guy Gray.
You know what's cool?
As much as I love Roman, I'm not taking that beating.
Nothing beats being cool.
I sort of wish this was my theme song. I walked around with an apple in my pocket. Is that an apple in your pocket? You just happy to see me. Neville!
The Pitcher!
Versus Austin Aries. And that actually is for the WWE Cruiserweight.
The Pitcher!
I'm going to go A-double.
Wow, really?
Yes. I was ready for him to be the champion at WrestleMania.
I say they keep it on Neville. All right, time for the Raw Women's...
The Pitcher!
Bayley versus Sexy Lexi.
Alexa Bliss.
And that is my pick, Alexa Bliss.
The Pitcher!
I agree. I'm going Alexa Bliss. Raw Tag Team.
The Pitcher!
Hardy Boys versus Sheamus and Cesaro.
Yeah, this one feels very obvious as well. It's so obvious that the Hardy Boys are going to keep the championship that I'm going to pick them in my prediction.
I'm going Hardy Boys as well. Seth Rollins, Samoa Joe.
This is the match that has the potential to steal the show, I'm going to say.
Really?
Yes, I do think so. And with that said, I'm going to say that the victor in this show stealing match is going to be Seth Rollins.
I will say Seth Rollins. Damn it, I don't want to agree with you on everything.
Great minds think alike.
And on the kickoff show, Enzo and Cass versus Gallows and Anderson.
I like Enzo and Cass for this.
I don't know. I have a question. Does it feel like the Enzo and Cass thing might be winding down?
No.
It doesn't?
I don't think so.
I don't know. It feels like momentum's slowing.
I mean, the crowd...
I want the split of the cents. You know that.
But then...
So if they split, who would you want to turn on who?
I think that if they split, the turn... The obvious turn is Cass turning on Enzo. But I think the money is Enzo turning on Cass.
I think it's Enzo turning on Cass and aligning himself with someone else.
Yep.
Like, what if Enzo changed his style a bit? I know it's hard to envision right now. But Enzo turns on Cass, changes his style, buttons it up a little bit, isn't quite the cartoon that he is. Now that I'm saying this, though, I realize it won't happen because kids are too into the whole thing. But... adult fantasy. Whoa, not that kind of fantasy. What if he buttoned it up a little bit, turned on Cass, and got with Braun Strowman? And became the mouthpiece for Braun Strowman. And then you got to see Cass and Strowman.
Man.
Not bad, right?
That's not bad at all.
And imagine if when they finally come head-to-head, and they're about to finally touch, out of nowhere...
I spit in the face of people who don't want to be cool.
Carlito.
That part is less likely.
It's not Greg this time. It's Carlito. All right, before we get out of here, Greg, any stats?
No stats.
Wow. I hope that was made into a drop because that really sums you up. No stats. No stat Greg.
Oh, my goodness.
Stat Guy Greg on Twitter. Rosenberg Radio on Twitter. Oh, wow. It's already 3:58. I got to do my radio show right now.
Luckily, you're going right next door.
That's exactly right. Have fun in Albany. Again, shout out to everyone who showed love. I'm working currently, Greg, I'm about to write an email right now to get us cracking on our SummerSlam plans. Try to get something mage going for the Smarky Smarks. You know what I'm saying?
Smarky Smarks.
So we will work on that. Oh, what else did I say on there? Smarky Smarks, regular kids, nerds, jocks. Exactly, for everyone.
All y'all.
All y'all will be invited. At Stat Guy Greg, at Rosenberg Radio, Twitter, Instagram, all that. And even though I don't believe we offended anyone this week, we'd still love to hear from you. And feel free to reach out to Naomi on Twitter and let her know how awesome she is as well. We appreciate her taking the time. SGG, I want you to remember two things. Number one, and number two, stay mage. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Major.